Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
So, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, I'm asking that your grace and truth and life would flow into our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would speak grace so that we might hear your voice and know which way is to move. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, we have been doing a series on the power of. Last week, we looked at the power of the gospel. Before that, we looked at the power of persistent prayer. Today, we are going to look at the power of repentance. Now, I've been doing an informal survey. Do you see repentance as positive or negative? And overwhelmingly, I'm hearing that, well, the survey says repentance is negative. It's just kind of one of those heavy things. Not sure we want to talk about it. And I get it. I grew up like that. When somebody said the word repent, I kind of heard hellfire and brimstone preaching and fingers shaking and you need to repent. I heard people laying guilt trips on others. But the more I hear God's heart, I started to love the word repent. The call to repentance never comes out of the anger of God. It comes out of the kindness of God. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, God's kindness leads us to repentance. But not only that, if you can grasp God's heart in this, I believe that you can dramatically alter what is going on in your life. This is one of the primary vehicles which God uses to keep you safe. It's one of the primary vehicles that God uses to move you into freedom and to release you from bondage. It's one of the primary ways God leads us into ways of the life that is really life. Repentance is God's gift to you. Let me give you just some definitions of definition of repentance. Repentance, in its essence, means to turn back to God. It means to change one's mind about what was done or the direction you were going, and change that direction to move directly towards God. We turn away from God, doing things and living in a way where we're not really living for God, and that is what we call sin. And again, I know sin is not a really positive term as well, but let me paint some pictures in your mind to help you understand what's happening here. So imagine you were able to time travel back to the time of Leonardo da Vinci, and he was just finishing up his masterpiece, the Mona Lisa. And you think, hey, Leonardo, you're my buddy. I like that painting. I think it would look good in my house. Could I borrow it for a time? Leonardo, being a nice guy, says, ah, sure, you can borrow my painting. And he does. And so you borrow the painting, you take it home, and you think, you know, her eyes are amazing. That Mona Lisa eyes, it seems to follow you wherever you go. You know what? I think it would look better if it had a third eye. So let's paint an eye right in the middle of the forehead. And you know, so you start painting that up, and then you think, oh, well, okay, not sure it turned out the way I wanted it to, but you know, if we just added some lines here and a blotch there, and you keep on touching up the painting, and when you see the painting and you step back from it, it's kind of a mess. Leonardo comes up to you and says, hey, my friend, I lent you my painting. I'd like it back now, please. And with remorse and with shame, you return the Mona Lisa, and it's been vandalized. It's just not looking good. And that's the picture that God gives of us. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." But what have we done with God's masterpiece? Well, sinning against God is vandalizing his masterpiece, yourself, what he has made, how he has created you to be. And of course, when you splash paint on yourself, it has a way of splashing on others too. And it vandalizes them. And so when you think about sin, think about a masterpiece being vandalized. So, repentance means you're sorry for messing up God's masterpiece. Again, God calls you to repentance out of kindness. It's not out of anger. He wants to restore you because God is the master restorer. He takes paintings that were vandalized and he restores them. And he makes them into a masterpiece. God is in the process of restoring each one of us. But in order to do that, we have to give him back the painting and allow him to start the restoration process. That's repentance. I turn back to God what was his, and I work with him to right what was wrong in my life. Let me give you another example of repentance. So let's pretend that you are an airplane pilot. Not any airplane. We're talking a Boeing 777. Like this is an amazing plane, and it has the range to take off from Ottawa International Airport and fly to Hawaii nonstop. So you say, okay, I get to fly this airplane. So you take off from Ottawa and you say, instruments. Like, who wants to read the instruments? I want to go to Hawaii, but I kind of know where it is. I got this gut feeling like it's kind of southwest someplace. And so you point the 777, and you're just flying out there, and you're headed somewhere in the direction of Hawaii. And you're flying, and you're flying. And then you start to get thinking. You do the math. And if I'm just off by a few degrees when I'm flying towards Hawaii, what's going to happen is I'm going to miss Hawaii altogether, and I'm going to end up in the ocean. That's problematic. So you think to yourself, maybe I should check the instruments. So you check the instruments, and you realize you're off course. So you course correct, and you head towards Hawaii. That course correction, that's repentance. That is what repentance is. Maybe we're not running directly away from God as Jonah did, but we're not really headed towards God either. We're a few degrees or tens of degrees off of heading towards God. And repentance means, okay, I've been going this direction and I am going to go straight towards God. That is repentance. So, the more you think about how you live your life, we're either going towards God, or we can be off a few degrees, or even 90 degrees, or even 180 degrees. Repentance is always a call to head straight towards God. When we correct what is wrong, head towards God, that's repentance. That's what John the Baptist was talking about. He was telling the crowds in Luke chapter 3, verse 3. So John went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I once heard someone say, you know, what do you do when you have this wild-eyed, camel-wearing, grasshopper-eating prophet going up to you and saying, repent? You repent, right? That's kind of what John was saying. He was saying, repent. And people were coming to him, and John was preaching in the wilderness. But many were relying on what they thought was getting them to God. And all the while they were, they thought, well, you know, we're kind of God's children. And so, yeah, so we're good. And all the while they were doing things that were contrary to God. They were going in the wrong direction. So here's what John says in John chapter 3, verse 7. John said to the crowds coming to be baptized to him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce the fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourself, well, we're Abraham, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children of Abraham." John was not looking for just a mental assent to what he was saying. He was looking for repentance, and if true repentance happened, it would produce fruit. And if that fruit happened, there would be change. And so Luke chapter 3, verse 10. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even the tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they said, "what should we do?" "Well, don't collect any more taxes than you are required to," he told them. He goes on, "what should we do?" Or next slide. Whoop, back one. It's not there. Oh, sorry about that. I covered over. Well, then let me read it from my notes. And it says, and then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with what you have." John is saying true repentance will show up in how you live and how you treat others. The change of direction heading back towards God means change in our lives as well. I want to lay one more verse on your mind before I pull it all together for you. The Apostle Paul had written a letter to the church in Corinth. And in Corinth, there was some stuff going on that just wasn't good. And there was some immorality happening there, and Paul rebuked them for it. And the people were sorry for it. So Paul then writes another letter, and this is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. "I'm not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. Now I'm glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have so that you were not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away to sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. When we are confronted with our sin, it's painful. It sometimes brings on sorrow. And we see that we have vandalized the painting. And we experience sorrow. But sorrow is not repentance. There is a godly kind of sorrow and a worldly kind of sorrow. The worldly kind of sorrow is the kind of sorrow that says, well, I'm sorry I got caught. Or I'm sorry that Paul had to come down hard on us. Or I'm sorry for the pain that I've been experiencing. A worldly kind of sorrow is not a sorrow for what you did, but over the results and the consequences of what you did. Paul says, worldly sorrow That's not repentance. And it actually leads to spiritual death. Because to be sorrowful about something and not see it from God's perspective is problematic. But there's another kind of sorrow. He talks about godly sorrow. This is the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience, and it leads to life. The sorrow drives you to God. You confess your sin. You change course. Eventually, you come to the place where your sorrow is more about how you have ruptured your relationship with God and what that's all about, instead of just the sadness of the consequences. Repentance is, though, is not always about sorrow. There will be times when in your life where you just didn't know you were going the wrong way or didn't know any other way to go, and God shows you something, and instead of sorrow, you feel gratefulness because you see God's kindness, and you see, yeah, if I turn and I head towards God and I leave this aside, yeah, that's going to give me life and life to the full. If you are doing things that you shouldn't be doing, then I pray that you will repent. There will be sorrow, but focus on the gift of grace that God always, always, always has for you. He always receives those who come to him. It's like the psalm that was read earlier. David is grieving over what he did, but God comes to him and meets him right where he's at. I suspect that there are many of you who are Christians. Jesus lives in you. You know you're on your way to heaven, but there's parts of your life that pull you away from God. Some of you may be aware of this, but don't understand where it's coming from. Some of you may not be aware of it at all, but it just seems like your spiritual journey has stalled. I only have a few moments, so I'm going to just take a little bit of time and give you kind of an overview of the ways that God sets us free right now through his grace of repentance. And I'm going to brush it with very big strokes. If God is speaking to you while I'm saying this, I would invite you to email me. I can send you more material, and if I need to, I can help coach you through some of these things. But here's kind of how life works in our world. We have some pressure points. We grow up with one or more pressure points. Most of us experience performance expectations, or, you know, where you have to live up to somebody's expectation and you've got to be better. Or dominance and control. You weren't let to decide anything. You were just oppressed and held down. Some will have parents who have just focused on self or made you focus on yourself, and you're just the best at everything and you can't do any wrong ever at all. Some experience anger, and that anger did something to their soul. Some were always being belittled and critical judgment. Some were abandoned, not talked to, ostracized, ignored. And you add to that list of some have experienced bad things that you just weren't meant to experience. Different traumas, things done to you, things that were just bad. God never intended those things to happen. And there are some of you that you didn't receive the good things you were meant to have. You were meant to have the love of a parent. You were meant to be affirmed in who you are, and you are meant to be loved dearly and deeply. Well, so these things have a way of warping your soul, hurting your soul. And many of us experience emotional struggles because of these things. And they usually fall into one of these characteristics. Anger. Next slide. Anger, shame, guilt, fear, sadness, hopeless despair, disgust, defilement, neglect, rejection, abandonment. And these feelings aren't wrong, right? They are what they are. If you have your feelings, they're valid because they're your feelings. But your feelings aren't always truthful. But your feelings have a way of guiding you into places where you don't want to be. You can tell which one of these you're dealing with because it controls you. Maybe it's shame, or maybe it's anger, or maybe it's rejection and you just feel that way and it just controls everything you do. And or maybe you avoid them, or you just, you know, I can't go there, anywhere near there, or you avoid people who display one of these things because so much trouble you have with this. You can tell kind of where the pressure patterns are in your life by that. Feeling these things, again, isn't a problem. But what can happen is that these feelings get translated into something else. Next slide. It can get translated into bitterness, where people have so offended, dominated, sinned against you, and you become angry with them, and that anger is held on to, and it's hard to forgive, and you decide not to forgive, and you become bitter. And that just is toxic to you and your soul. It's toxic to the people around you. Or you can get focused on temporal values, more stuff. I need what the world says I need. I need either power or prestige or money. And so you get focused on that, and that becomes your idol, your God. Or you get into rebellion and defiance, and you know, you're going to rebel against the man and do all that. And that plays out in how you treat bosses and how you treat work. And there is there can be pride that sinks in there, because sometimes those emotions that you've had have driven you to be the best. You work really hard and it drives you to be the best, and there's not out of a drivenness of I want to be excellent, but out of a drivenness of fear, or I just can't handle if I'm second best. And that creates this thing where I'm prideful in a wrong way. You can have good kinds of pride. You can be proud of your work. You can be proud of your kids. You can be proud of a number of things. But there's a pride that just destroys our heart, where it says that, hey, look at us. And it's basically an independence from God. I'm a self-made person. Or spiritual issues, can get into moral, sexual issues, or hypocrisy, that kind of things. Here's how Paul says, in Galatians chapter 5, when you were following the desires of your sinful nature, the results were very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again that, as I've told you before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul puts it out there. When you live like this, it causes problems in the way you live. And it causes issues with your life, and it causes your relationships to be fractured. It causes you to be alone, put walls up around you, because you're living out of these things that you don't know how to deal with. But God wants something different for you. The very next verses after these are this, Galatians chapter 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So what do? When you see the pressures of your life, and maybe it's the anger about what somebody has done to you or said to you, or maybe bitterness and unforgiveness has crept in, or maybe that you've just felt pressure, and the way that you've relieved the pressure was to do things that that are not good and destroy your soul, what do you do with that? You repent. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Because as we deal with those things, God has a way of freeing us. Jesus said, it's for free. I have set you free. Those who I have set free are free indeed. And there's a freedom that comes in that. Jesus said, my purpose in coming is this. The thief's purpose, that's Satan, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy your relationships, your life, your very soul, and so you are a skeleton of what you were really meant to be. You walk around with the Mona Lisa, and it's been vandalized and scarred, and you think, oh, well, I guess this is normal. And Jesus says, no. My purpose is not his. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So how do you repent? Well, repentance is a spiritual process. It requires a spiritual movement. It's not something that's only done with the head. It's also done with the heart. Jesus, what is it? Is there something in my life that I need to repent from? Is there something in my painting that has been vandalized? Are there some places in my life where I'm heading not towards you, but I'm off course? Lord, would you show me those issues? And as Jesus takes you to those issues, he's going to start to show you a little bit about where they've come from. Oh, yeah. You'll remember this that was done to me or that was done to me, and that'll bring up memories. And you say, Lord, yeah, this happened to me. And God, I was hurt deeply. And I believed lies, and I took on stuff that I shouldn't have taken on, and I cursed myself, I cursed others, and I'll never be like that, or I'm always going to do this. And as you did that, and as I owned those lies and made those curses, I become bound up. Lord, I repent of those lies. I renounce those curses. Lord, I want you to come and forgive me. Forgive me for believing those lies and living out of those lives and putting up walls and hurting others out of those lies. Forgive me. So as you repent and say, Lord, I'm going to head towards you now. As you do, you're going to find that God has a way of speaking in and saying, you are forgiven, you are cleansed, and I'm going to do something good in you. You're going to see where God walks you through this process where he allows you to walk into freedom. I wish I could take time with each one of you and walk you through this. But if, like I said before, if God's speaking to you today and saying, yeah, I know that there's some stuff that I need to deal with, I'd encourage you, email me, I'll send you some stuff that you can work through on your own, and then, you know, if you need to, we can get together, I can coach you through the process. Because Jesus came that you might have life. And it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It's not that God is mad at you and wants to hit you over the head, repent. It's that God wants the best for you, and he wants to restore his masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared for you in advance to do. Lord Jesus, thank you for the power of repentance. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you can heal and forgive and make whole and restore. Lord, you are the great master artist who can restore what sin has vandalized. Lord, if there's places in our lives where we need to change direction, I'm asking that you would show us that. If there are things in our lives that are holding us back from changing direction, help us to deal with that, and Lord, give us the courage to get the help we need. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of repentance. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.